Well, it's 7:05 here. This is Ed Walker awaiting the arrival of my partner on this little hassle, Willard Scott, who is late as usual. I sent him up to get some coffee, and I guess that's the problem.
Coffee time!
Hey.
Coffee time!
There he is. Hey, Willard, how do you do that? How did you open the door and juggle four cups with your foot?
Here, let me go. I like mine black, Scott. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Bobby says he wants his cream.
And the crackers. And the grapes.
I thought we were just going to have coffee.
Bananas.
Uh-huh.
Apple.
Orange.
Pop soup.
Very good.
And some orange juice over here.
Oh, my. This is quite a spread.
Here's
a got
turkey
here.
Leg.
Turkey leg.
Here's some olives that I wrapped up.
Pivot or the other kind?
Pivot. Here's the stuffed celery and the cream cheese.
Nice.
Okay.
That's a very nice spread.
Arthur?
I don't like them.
No, wait, I don't care what you like. What did you order? I forgot. I got it.
I want coffee black.
Coffee black.
With a side order of yogurt.
Yogurt. Oh, wait.
Thanks.
Ooh, ooh.
Oh, that
ooh.
Here, I'll Bobby, let you want here back in the... Here's the yogurt.
Bobby
doctor.
Wants his coffee with cream.
Sort of smeared on the bottom of the bag here.
It's stuck there, doesn't
if
it?
You'd use your hand there. Would you want coffee cream, Bobby?
Bobby wanted coffee with cream.
I'll pour.
Let's slop it around.
Okay.
Cream and one sugar. For
cream
me.
And one sugar. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And
are we missing an... Wait a minute. One of our engineers. Where'd KB Williams go?
I don't know.
We got a coffee and a sandwich for him.
Coffee and a sandwich?
John?
John?
You want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and some jelly?
Okay. This is sandwich month, you know, John.
Yeah, be patriotic, man, for the sponsor. Art Hallam is over there, Art.
Yes?
Would you like one of these sandwiches? We have two left over and an olive.
I'll take the olive.
Okay, here.
Thank you.
It's the biggest olive I've ever seen in my life. Well, listen, I think everything is all right if we can just get ourselves organized here now. All right, let's see if you can't take your sandwich and move it over
here. Wait a minute, there's no room for the microphone.
Oh, I got my elbow on the chicken gumbo.
Bob, can you start the theme?
Do something over there.
Hands are all covered with peanut butter.
God, would you please, don't eat.
The joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Time for the Joy Boy Show. Peanut butter all over my fingers here.
Got us a can't understand why when we're going to have dinner
Thursday
later
night.
On this evening anyway.
Well, you brought the stuff here.
Well, I was asked.
This is Ed Walker. That's Willard Scott over there.
Art.
So move all the dishes off.
Help us. John, would you come over
John,
here?
John, move the dishes. Well,
the Joy Boys tonight will have a very exciting program. We're going to, first of all, take
you off the studio. That's the first order of business.
To an all-night disc jockey who has been locked in by the management and is doing his show all night.
A romantic-type disc jockey. I think you may remember him. Also, what do we have?
We are also going to interview a man who has developed a new system for telegraphing ideas in business.
Oh, really?
It's Gordon Gray Matter.
Uh-huh.
Also, we will have a sidebuster.
We have an award here.
We do?
Yes. The Tug of War teams down at the YMCA have just voted us the two biggest jerks in radio.
Yeah. Let's drink to that. I can find a cup that isn't busted.
That's Billy May in the orchestra.
Was that the other player in the same orchestra?
I think he was in another studio doing a
Sinatra session.
That's called Pawn Ticket. That's
a beautiful name for a song on this show.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, no doubt you who are radio fans have listened to the disc jockey who is on at night, who has in the past and still in many radio stations across the country, reads beautiful poetry and recites beautiful words and has a very beautiful voice and who can really quite pleasingly lull you to sleep in the early hours of eventide. And we would like to recreate for you one of those disc jockeys on our program. The gentleman that we're speaking about works for one of the biggest stations in the country. It's a 50,000 watter. a non-directional job that goes all over the country. I mean, from, you know, coast to coast and border to border. And he reads poetry and also recites songs on his program. It's on from, say, 12 o'clock until 4 in the morning. The man's name is Worthington Hess, and his program could possibly sound a little bit like this.
Good morning. It's midnight again. This is Worthington Hess with beautiful words out of the night. It was just the neighborhood dance, that's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a royal affair.
Get those lights out of there. We just got
I'm sorry,
run
friends.
Those cables right over here on the outside.
What is going on?
Your television, the
can't
remote
you see I'm on? Just get out.
Never call maintenance.
Get out. It was like a trip to the stars, to Venus and Mars, because you were on the train with me. Oh, yes, and when I kissed you, darling, it was more than just a thrill. What are you doing, my good man?
Hi there, Mr. Weston.
Yes. I'm on the air.
You just got off the air.
No, I just went on the air. Would you clean up the studio at 4 in the morning? Would you please leave?
The light is burnt out of the
air.
First of all,
I'm trying.
Sorry about
would you just get out?
Oh, please? Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Weston.
Thank you. Friends, I'm sorry for this brief interruption. It was just a wedding in June. That's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be.
If you're going in the studio, you please be quiet. I'm on the air.
Yes, it was just a wedding in June. That's all that it was. I'm sorry, somebody walked in the studio with their Bermuda shorts on, and now they've locked themselves out of the studio. I told them not to make telephone calls down here.
Hello?
Can't you see I'm on the air?
Telegram,
thank you, boy.
What? Neither sweet nor small nor.
All right, just give me the. Just give me the telegram, would you please?
Yes, sir.
What does it say here? You're fired. Sign, the boss.
You better get a new light out there inside your studio.
Oh, get out.
That's Peggy Lee, and you've got to have heart.
You sure do on this show, I'll tell you. Well, Safeway's great Mix or Match 'em Dollar Sale is here again, friend. Tremendous varieties of food values for you to mix or match for a dollar. In frozen foods, in the 6 for $1 combination, the 10-ounce package of Bel Air fresh frozen chopped broccoli, 10-ounce package of Bel Air fresh frozen peas, 12-ounce package of Bel Air fresh frozen chopped spinach.
Popeye the Sailor, man.
12-ounce package of Bel Air fresh frozen leaf spinach, and special 7 for $1 feature, the 18-ounce can of Libby's tomato juice. How about that?
Yes, sir.
There you are. Just some of the wonderful values that await you when you shop during the great Mix or Match'em Dollar Sale. But they're all bell ringers. The Safeway, where food is first. Hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, from time to time, we try to interview interesting guests on this program who have an interesting occupation. Today we have a man who is an author, among other things, who has just written a new book. Mr. Gordon Graymatter is this gentleman's name, and he's written a book on mental telegraphy.
Hello, Wilbur. How are you?
I'm Ed, and that's Willard over there, Gordon.
Oh, well, Wilbur.
Is you have written this book. Yeah. Would you sit right down here, sir, please? Make me
I certainly would like to,
You're standing up there.
How are you, Mr. Walker?
Now, you've written this book. Would you care to tell us a little bit about, do you mean mental telepathy?
Yes. Basically, the way this book operates is on the premium principle of reverse psychology. For instance, you know and I know that with your wife, say, you plan to go out and spend an evening with the boys. But many times, if you ask your little wife if you can go out, she'll say no or put up some sort of an argument, right?
Right, right.
So the whole idea is to use reverse psychology.
You mean tell her that you don't want to go out with the boys?
Well, not that.
That was a little naive.
Don't be so obvious.
That was a little naive.
For instance, say to the little woman, darling, a couple of the boys down the street are going out on a poker party tonight, and I'm so glad that I'm not going because I can stay here and watch television with you. And I'd much rather stay here, and I just think it's ridiculous that those guys go out. Nine times out of ten, you know what she'll say, don't you?
Well, she'd probably say, well, you've had a hard day at the office, and maybe you should go out.
And then you say, no, I'd rather stay here. After all, you'll be lonesome. And then she'll come right back with, no, darling. Go out and have a good time with the boys, and you can go out there and have a ball and have a real good time. That's the way.
That sounds very interesting.
This is the way the book works. It's called the telegraphing system. In other words, telegraphing ideas to people who, if you were approaching them directly, they wouldn't get the point.
Yeah.
Most people are not stupid.
How do you apply this in business? I mean,
The same way. You go out with a sponsor, say.
Yeah.
Like your Safeway people, see?
Uh-huh.
And you want to get the account on your program, right?
Sure.
All right. So you go out and you make some comment about the other people in town.
Yeah.
Is there another one in town?
Don't mention any names.
Tell them, that their ideas for advertising are pretty good, but you think you can do a better job.
That's right.
And then you and Mr. Squat over there talk it up.
Scott.
Do it.
I think that's very interesting.
And the book is available.
Nice to,
I think you'll enjoy
have you on the program.
Thank you, sir. We really enjoyed having you with us.
Yes, it's getting a little bit
I really
late
believe
you
find the book is going to be a very, very big service to
you. Willard, I think next on the program...
All you've got to do is go down to your neighborhood store and get the book. It's
some
a wonderful
more music here, Mr.
Guaranteed to be a bestseller.
And it certainly is nice of you to have come by. And Willard,
do all you possibly can, Willard. Reverse psychiatry is the thing that works every time. All you've got to do is...
It's been nice having you on the program,
just
Mr.
Reverse
Graymatter.
Psychology always
and
works.
I want
it's
you to know
the world.
That I
all
hope your book sells a million copies.
The idea,
it has been grand having you.
What are you trying to do there?
I don't think you get the point, do you?
Out of Northwest on MacArthur Boulevard come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Platinum. With a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho slobber, the sodbuster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater champion of justice, a more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, pizza-eating son of a sod. It's the sodbuster. A true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him. Little children respected him. Women loved him. A true gentleman of the old West. Yes, he was that.
That was my fault, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Return with the sound of those thrilling days of any old year we find roaming up the wild badlands of the old West. The Sod Buster. Cue the orchestra. The story of Chester Drawers and U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard in the Old West, as they lived it, as they wrote it. Cue the sodbuster. His sidekick.
Oh, yeah. Come here, Chester.
Marshal.
You kicked you right in the side, didn't I?
Took my line, too.
I was reading a magazine. I'm sorry, I missed my cue there.
It was early morning. Come on, put yourself
yourself together, man.
As our story opens, we find the marshal, U.S. Matt Dillard. At least we find the Matt. Kitty is in there with him, too, and...
Well, now, let's see.
Kitty says...
Matt, what is it we're supposed to do?
Well, I don't know, Kitty. I just got this note here. It was on my desk this morning from Chester. It says, Marshal, would you please pack me some grub in my saddlebag, take my bedroll, clean my shooting iron, and load up my horse. I've got to leave Dodge this afternoon, sundown.
Doesn't sound too good, does it, Matt?
No, it doesn't, Kitty. I don't much like the idea of Chester riding off like that by himself with his gun and his bedroll and a few supplies. Chester not used to that sort of thing, and I'm afraid that maybe he's going after some Al Hoot or something that maybe he remembered down Pecos way years ago, and he's afraid to tell me about it, and he won't let me help him.
Well, Matt, I guess we ought to do what Chester says and pack his saddlebag. I've already got the grub in there.
Okay, I've cleaned his six-shooter here, Kitty, and I guess...
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
Singing about that hombre he's going at. Trying to bring up his courage.
Chester, boy.
Howdy, Miss Kitty.
Hi, Chester.
Now, Chester, I want you to know if there's anything you want to tell me before you leave, that if you'd like me to go with you or help you out, well, I'd be more than happy to go and take care of things for you, son.
No, Marshal, I don't see no need for you to bother yourself.
I want you to face enough to know hombres that you can't handle, Chester. We need you around here. I wouldn't want nothing to happen.
Who's going to face up to any hombre, Marshal?
Well, I don't know. You had me pack your six-shooter and clean it and have your saddlebag.
Oh, I heard all that in rehearsal, Marshal.
Yeah, well, what's the idea, son?
Sometimes I'm listening on my transistor out in the studio.
Well, where are you going?
Well, I got me a couple of guest tickets to Disneyland, and I'm going to go on up to Anaheim.
And that's why you were singing Who's Afraid of the Big Bad?
Yeah, I'm going to ride that submarine.
Well, did you get me a ticket, too, Chester?
Well, what do you think I got two for, Marshal?
Well, aren't you something? Kitty, pack up my saddlebag.
We're on our way.
Who's
Anaheim, Mazooza, and Hoop. Come on, girls.
The Sodbuster is written by Moby Dick. Produced by the NBC Newsroom on the weekend. Directed by Horace Opera. The entire production was supervised for NBC Radio by Billy the Kid. This has been a Saddle Thor production.
Well, gang, it just about does it for this afternoon, this evening. It's Joy Boys. This is Ed Walker here.
Well, it's Scott Thinking, Bobby Shenton, Arthur Page,
yeah,
Art Hallam,
thank you,
KB Williams, who isn't here,
yeah,
and thanks to John Hickey.
John, thank you, son.
This is Charlie Stafford reminding you this program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas. And I'm getting out next week, and I'd like you to
join the Joy Boys of Radio. We take a left to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take a left to and fro.
The NBC News Department does a special report on the Middle East tonight on the NBC Radio Network. In other words, I'm WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington. At the sound of the tone, the time will be exactly 7:30.
That's the craziest horn in town, Harry James, that little thing there called the 2 o'clock jump.
Commercial time.
Okay.
More cool ideas from Safeway for hot August days. Bel Air Fresh Frozen Lemonade and Bel Air Fresh Frozen Pink Lemonade. Mm-hmm. Made from selected fresh and quality lemons, Bel Air Fresh Frozen Lemonade make the ideal cooling, refreshing, hot weather drink, you know. plus the extra real nutrition and value for the whole family that goes with these wonderful lemons. So relax with fresh Bel Air fresh frozen lemonade and Bel Air fresh frozen pink lemonade. A Bel Air fresh frozen lemonade is featured this week at Safeway. The 6 ounce can, 6 for $0.69, and the 12 ounce can, 3 for $0.65. And Bel Air fresh frozen pink lemonade, the 6 ounce can, 6 for $0.69 at Safeway, where food is first.
Your friendly Safeway store.
And now,
hold it, Del Rio. It's been so long since we've done this series that I can't find my opener.
I'm playing the theme.
Thanks.
Oh, I have it here. I was having one before the show.
Thanks.
Oh, there's the other
not
opener.
That opener.
Oh,
no, I mean the format.
Oh, yes.
And knock the can off on the... King Kong birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed. The only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear brings you... the heartwarming story of just plain Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hartburn in the title role of kindly old Mama Bear. It is early afternoon on a very rainy Tuesday. As our story opens, we find in the kitchen humming to herself Mama Bear, who apparently is...
Is that the fire engine just went by there, Ma?
Hello.
I thought I heard a siren.
Hey, you did. You did. I'm a real siren from Grenadine. Hello, Herbie.
You know, there's just nothing for a young fellow to do on a rainy day inside the house here.
Well, why don't you go down the basement?
Is there something I can play down there?
Well, you might have one. Let me just go ahead and I'll get this roll dough up here. I've been kneading this dough all afternoon. We're going to have rolls for dinner tonight, and I'm just so glad because I haven't had hot rolls in so long. I'll just, here's a great big ball of it. I'll just put it over here so it can rise out here in this big bowl. I think I won't even put it in the bowl. I'll just let it rise over here on the, put it on the drain board. Whew, that'll make enough rolls to feed the neighborhood. Well, I'm going to go in and do my sewing.
Oh, there was nothing to do down in the basement, I'll tell you that. Ooh, look at that. I didn't see this here before. Looks like an old basketball. Maybe Pa left it here. He used to play on a basketball game. Well, I can bounce the ball a little bit here. Let's see. Ooh, that's a good one. A lot of bounce to the end. 1, 2, 3, O'Leary, 4, 5, 6, O'Leary, 7, 8, 9, 10,
Herbert.
Mama, what's the matter?
What are you doing?
Look at that thing bounce.
Herbert.
Found this old basketball here and I'm bouncing it around.
I don't know why. Herbert, put it down.
Put it
That's
down?
That's a nice dinner, Herbert.
That's dinner?
What are you doing with Grandma's roll, though, there?
Well, I was just bouncing the ball there. I thought it was pretty good for basketball. You ought to patent that, Ma. You can make $1,000,000 there. What is
that
it?
That was my roll, though, for dinner tonight, Herbert.
You mean that cooking dough?
That's what I was going to fix for dinner. Look at it.
Well, I always wanted to be rolling in dough.
You drop the dough on the...
Ooh, got there, Mr. Announcer. I wasn't talking that time.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Well, I think I'll see what I can... King Kong Birdseed has just brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear. Starring the gifted stage and screen star Margaret Hartburn in the title role of kindly old lady Bear. Based on the book, Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgerald. Oh!
Got him again, right?
Geraldine, thank you.
Doc, Mr. Announcer.
That program came to you from...
People of the radio audience, it's our pleasure to welcome to our WRC microphone a man whom you've seen many times at the silver screen of your neighborhood theater.
I certainly hope so.
But a man whose name perhaps you do not know, a man whose fame you do not know.
But
we have one of the greatest men of the Hollywood theater world with us in our studio, Mr. Gersten Keks.
Thank you. That's right. I'm glad to hear you recognize talent when you see it.
Mr. Gersten Keks, welcome to WRC's microphone. And this is Ed Walker over here.
It certainly is an honor for this station to have me on its air.
This is Mr. Walker over here, Gary.
How do you do, Mr. Cax? How do you do, sir?
I'm Willard Scott.
Mr. Scott?
Scott.
I don't think I've ever heard of you gentlemen, but nice to meet you anyway.
Too
no,
much.
It doesn't. I will talk to the humble as well as the great.
Radio listeners, I will tell you this, that Gersten Keck has appeared in some of the greatest motion pictures that you've ever seen.
That's right. I have appeared in some of the outstanding Academy Award winners of such things as Going the Wrong Way, which was a great picture, Gone with the Breeze, and all sorts of wonderful movies.
But you're not a name actor, are you?
Well, I beg your pardon there. Actually, I don't get billing as such. I'm what is known as an extra. I'm a scene stealer is what it is.
You are, as far as I was getting at, a professional scene stealer.
That's right. I'm a professional scene stealer. You give me two great actors in a scene, and by George, I'll steal a scene right away from them. That takes talent, boy.
Well, we haven't got time to go into too many particulars, but is there any way you
I
can...
brought a few film clips, which I've taken the liberty of giving to the engineers, and they are going to, they've been gracious enough to run them for us on the rear screen projection here.
What is this first movie that we shall see?
This is a great motion picture about the Civil War called Gone with the Breeze.
Darrell F. Frantic's big girl.
That's correct. And, of course, it was a story of Charlotte and Grit. And it was one tremendous emotional scene in there where Charlotte and Grit were seated on the divan, the love seat of the mansion. The troops were just about two blocks away, and it was the most gripping thing. Would you roll that movie, fellas?
Grit, what are we going to do, honey?
Look, Charlotte, we've got to get out of here. The Federal Army will be here soon. I'll take you down to Lester and wait with me. Come on up.
Excuse me, Grit and Charlotte, here
what do you want with us?
The hors d'oeuvres that you ordered.
Not order any hors d'oeuvres. You're bursting in here like this. Charlotte and I were talking, you know. Get out of here.
Well, all right. I just
right
thought I would ask class to the...
Hey, I think I remember that scene from the picture.
Yeah, some theaters clipped it up in Boston, places like that. They didn't think it was conducive to a good picture.
Well, it wasn't exactly
all. Jimmy Fiddler only gave it two bells, as a matter of fact.
Well, you know Jimmy. In those days, Jimmy, when he was writing, his bell ringer wasn't in too good a shape.
That's right. Well, let's move along to another movie here. Remember the great Dr. Backstairs motion pictures?
That was Hot Airs and Lionel Train.
Lionel Train. Two of the great
actors in Hollywood.
And there was one movie there, Dr. Hot Airs and the Tonsillectomy, was a great movie.
I saw that when I was 17 years old. I was
and a kid. Great impact was felt in this scene in the operating room. Would you roll the film, fellas?
Now then, Doctor, if you pass me the sutures, I'd be much obliged.
Certainly, Doctor. Here's the sutures, right?
Yeah, right. The scalpel, please.
Yes, Dr. Scalpel.
Thank you very much.
The man, he's breathing. His lips are moving.
Here is the coffee that you ordered.
See, this was a very exciting, and you stole the scene on that picture.
Bringing in the coffee,
in the middle of the operation.
Yes, and those are two of my great movies.
Thank you, Mr. Gersten Keck. We've enjoyed talking with you.
Certainly have enjoyed being on your program.
Our pleasure.
That's perfectly
all right. Thank you, Eddie. Will you show him the...
Certainly.
We're proud to say we have a brand new sponsor, Aunt Margaret's Instant Pizza, on our program.
Let me just say this, friends. Being a personal friend of Aunt Margaret, she was making regular pizza. It was a big seller.
Garst.
Now we're making instant pizza.
Garst.
And I will give an unsolicited testimonial right now.
We've got to do our commercial. Let's get him out of here.
No, Aunt
Margaret's Pizza, without a doubt, one of the most exciting new pizzas.
The way you wear your hat.
Frank Sinatra, and they can't take that away from me. Real pretty song here on the...
You better get that to the Federal Bureau of
I'll get it.
Wait a minute.
I'm telling you, fellas, I'm almost through college, and if I can just have a little help...
No, we don't want to subscribe to no magazine. No,
okay.
Get out of here.
Back to the show now.
Once again, as twilight creeps upon us, it's time for meditation. And with our poems on Moon River Anthology, our master poet, Randolph W. Goon. That was the dough that was, he hit me. That was the dough used on the Stella Bear bit. Would you sit down and read your poems and play?
I found this big wad of dough out in the hall.
Yes, that was from the last skit. Would you...
Got a navy seal on it. I suppose it's all right.
If the engineers were bouncing it around. And now, Mr. Goon's first poem this evening entitled... Goosebumps? Is that right? Goosebumps.
I thought it was going to the zoo, but... you're right. It's Goosebumps.
Yes.
Some people, when they get cold, their throat comes up with a lump. But when I get chilly, I'm covered with goosebumps. Sometimes in the winter, when it's cold and damp and chilly, I break out with goosebumps. I feel so silly. Once when I was in the Army, we were out on a bivouac, you know. I had a 45-pound pack on my back. They started shooting bullets from behind trees and stumps. And someone's aim was pretty good because they got me right in the goosebumps.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Goon's...
What's that?
...second poem this evening is entitled, Going to the Zoo.
The other day, just for fun, I went down to the zoo, and what do you think I saw there? A monkey that looked just like you.
Yeah.
I went by one cage, and inside there was a big baboon. And I heard a kid say, you may take this line.
That looks just like Randy Goon.
I see, the kid was...
Thought the baboon looked like
I saw the bears and lions and the Chicago White Sox and the hippopotami, the fox and the wolf, and even the old tsetse fly. The only thing that bothers me after I've been to the zoo, some of those weird creatures look like me. And one look a little like you.
Thank you. And how it closes. Here's Mr. Goon's thought for today.
Just give me a house by the side of the road where I can have my old-fashioned fruit stand.
I see. Thank you very much.
Well,
you've been listening to Randolph W. Goon and Goon River Anthology. And so until next week, we say goodbye.
Electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
It just about does it for the...
Let's get that door.
Hey, guess what, fellas? I graduated from college. No thanks to you. I got my diploma without you, so there.
Well, yeah. It's good. I mean, we...
Had him all wrong, didn't we, huh?
Well, I mean, kind of a wise kid.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes.
If you're a wise kid, join us tomorrow at the same time, and we'll have another...
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Listen to NBC for the best in radio listening.
Why?
Because we need the ratings. Hello, this is Mac McGarry inviting you to a program whose title gives you a pretty good idea of its time. McGarry Till Midnight from 8:05 until 12, Mondays through Thursdays, and 11:10 till midnight on Fridays. Be my guest for some of the best music available in the Washington area. McGarry Till Midnight on NBC Radio.
WRC, WRC-FM, Washington.
Golly, come on, Eddie. If we hurry up, I think we still have time.
Bring him off the television.
Come on. Upstairs,
well, what's the bet? You didn't tell me who's up there.
And I'll tell you no lies.
Well, I'd just like to know who we're going to see here. We've got a show of our own to do, you know.
Well, I told the engineers to put the first part of the show on tape.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, New Year's Eve show that we did. I don't think
2 years ago, though. Yes. Now, what's up in the studio?
Well, just in case you haven't heard, man.
I haven't heard.
You know who's visiting our station today?
I knew that when I asked you why we're going up in the studio.
Ella Fitzgerald is here at the station, and she's upstairs rehearsing for a big television show.
The Queen of Song, Ella Fitzgerald.
The Queen of Song, Ella Fitzgerald.
For goodness sake.
Like McGarry goes for the Aces first. Yeah,
yeah.
He booked her in here to be a guest on his show tonight.
Oh, I see the light. The rehearsal light is on.
Well, look, if we go inside, I think we might be able to just to watch her work. I'd like to get her autograph for Mary. She's a big fan.
Come on. I got an album here she could sign.
I'll just open the door.
Open the door in there.
She's busy right now. Come on, look. We'll come back in about.
Okay.
Come on, now look up again.
How about that?
I sure hope they started the theme downstairs.
Now, let's get out and find them.
The joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
All right, time for the Joy Boys show for this particular Wednesday night, I guess it is. And this is Ed Walker here.
Willard Scott here, and Edward, things are really going to happen this evening.
Things are?
Believe me, we have a tremendous show planned.
They haven't been happening for the last few evenings. I hope they have been tonight.
Well, that's good. That's Bobby Shenton.
Keep your opinions to yourself, Bobby.
That's right. You know, Colin.
I agree with
Arthur. For Arthur, just quit beeping your beeper and stare at where you are.
Okay.
You know, please. And, of course, over there is our ever-loving, ever-popular... Who is the other engineer?
We got a new engineer in here tonight. How do you like that?
Pete Pecos. Oh, Pete Shriver?
Yeah, from Texas.
Yeah. Howdy, Pete.
Howdy, partner.
Yeah, good to see you, Pete. You're
all right.
Yeah, thank you.
Got oil on my shoes, yeah.
I noticed you'd streaked
down home last week, and I walked through one of my daddy's oil wells.
Well, if you don't mind. Don't slap me in the back. Do me one favor and quit tracking oil all over the studio.
Sorry, boy, but when you dig your toe in the earth down in Dallas, why, oil comes out.
But you're from Tennessee.
No, I'm from Texas.
Oh, well, that's your problem. Coming up on our program today, great moments in history, very exciting show. Fulton's steamboat was invented some time ago on this date. And also we will have WRC will present a brand new feature. We'll surprise you with that. And finally, memos from management. I understand we have an award. The geologists of America have just voted you and me the two biggest fossils in radio.
How about that? Fossils.
Bob, I'm going to go see Ella Fitzgerald. Play the first record.
There you go. That's Love for Sale, done for you by Marty Gold and the orchestra. What do you say we go up and we're going to try to see if Ella Fitzgerald is free now? Or...
Boy, I think she sings so well. Yes, yeah. If you could possibly do it. I'd love to get her autograph.
Right up here. We right up here by the door now.
Okay.
Just open the door.
All right.
Miss Fitzgerald?
Don't bother her. Don't bug her. Look at her going, man. Well, look, we can't stay up here all day. So we'll catch her soon.
She's standing on his head over there. What does that mean?
She's hand flips. She's getting ready for the evening show at 8 o'clock. Let's go back down here. Come on, shut the door. Yeah, we got to do at least part of our program today.
Yeah, we got other things to do here.
She is so great, though, you know. I've always been an Ella Fitzgerald fan. Hey, we got the script.
Hand me the script. Is this the history right here?
Time now for great moments in history.
Stand by. I lead off here.
Are you ready, Bob? Okay. Art?
Yeah.
Pete?
What's that?
Forget it.
Huh? Oh, I was just checking the stock report.
Forget it, yeah.
See what it'll take a minute.
Do the announce.
And now, great moments in history.
It's time now for great moments of history, the facts and true stories behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. Ladies and gentlemen, it was on this very date in the year 1807 that Robert Fulton's steamboat, the Clermont, made its first trip up the Hudson River. Yes, the steamboat that was to begin a whole new era of transportation was born on this date. But it did not always start that way, for no doubt, those of you who have read history remember, it was first referred to as Fulton's Folly. But what was Fulton's Folly? Was Fulton's Folly the boat that didn't work, or was Fulton's Folly something else? Return with us now to the year 1806. It is September. Inside a dance hall, a bunch of girls are doing the can-can, and Robert Fulton and his pals are standing downstairs waiting for something to happen, as Robert Fulton says.
So they think my steamboat is a folly, do they? They don't think I know what I'm doing. Everybody says it'll never work. Well, they don't know what Fulton's Folly really is. All right, girls, get on up there.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fulton.
Up on the stage now. Ready? Perform. Look at those girls dancing. What do you think of that, huh?
And so, while Robert Fulton watched his girls dance at Fulton's Folly, a small, intimate nightclub in downtown New York, he went upstairs to his room. And his friend, Thaddeus P. Thaddeus, sat there as he shut the door and said to himself,
"Well, Thad, what do you think I ought to do about this boat?"
"I'm sick and tired of Fulton's Folly. I think you ought to go into the boat business."
"You think so?"
"It's ridiculous, these girls dancing around here. The customers have been slow lately. I really think it's about time you switched over and forgot this Follies you've got here. It's ridiculous."
"All right, if you think so."
"Let's have some coffee or some tea. Put the kettle up on the stove and let's see if we can get some..."
"Oh, yes, there. All right. Let's see.
Now, here's the way I look at things, you see. If at all possible, can you possibly deliver a boat by next September?"
"Well, I don't know. I don't have any money to make the boat run. You see, all they do is row the boat. You have to..." "What's that noise? Are you whistling?" "Hey, Scott, look at that.
Hey, look,
kettle.
It's steaming, and the steam is..." "Look.
Hey, that's the idea.
What?
That's it. Steam will drive my boat. I'm through with Fulton's Folly. I'm going to devote all my ambitions and energies to making the first steamboat. Get that kettle and come on down to the laboratory."
And so that's today's great moment in history. Fulton's Folly was not his boat. He actually owned some follies. And they were dancing girls. They giggled. They danced. And it was a great show. But that was it.
There you have Peggy Lee and the story of the Surrey with the Fringe on the top here on the Joy Boy Show for Wednesday night.
Dedicated to my hair there.
Yeah, that's just about a fringe left. Shall we try the studio again and see if...
Just love Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I would sure like to get an autograph. I have
Studio B.
A new album of hers, and if she'd just sign it for me, I'd really appreciate it.
Hello, thing, Stephen Foster. Come on in here. Let's
open the door.
Open the door now.
Okay. Well, I just was hoping that we could talk to her for a minute. I mean,
well, we can't. The woman obviously is singing, and we can't disturb her. So please, let's go on there.
But for 10 minutes now, she's been performing.
Well, that's not her fault. I mean, she's singing.
Is this a rehearsal or is
it a rehearsal for the show? They're going to videotape it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay.
I guess we've got to do a commercial, huh?
Okay. Let's. You got a Safeway spot around there? Thank you,
Bobby. Yeah. Here are some cool ideas for bakery items from Safeway. Yes, sir. How about this? Curtsy Bar Layer Cake. Fresh, moist, and tender Curtsy Bar Layer Cake. Come in a wide variety of delightful flavors, orange, coconut, chocolate, and caramel. Now then, if you want to keep out of the kitchen on these hot August days, Mom, if you've been cutting down on your baking, then give your family a treat and serve these Curtsy Bar Layer Cakes from Safeway. And any of the delightful flavors is sure to please the whole family. And for an extra treat, serve Curtsy Bar Layer Cake with your favorite flavor of Lucerne Party Pride ice cream. All flavors of Curtsy Bar Layer Cakes, orange, coconut, chocolate, and caramel, in the 22-ounce package, regularly 59 cents each. Now a hot weather special this week for only 49 cents each at Safeway, where food is first. Is that it? Thank you.
WRC Radio, as a public service, now presents its special award-winning series, Boob of the Week.
No doubt, each of you has met in the course of the past week someone you consider to be a troublemaker, someone who's done nothing but make your life miserable. It's to these people the WRC presents the award Boob of the Week. If you have a favorite person that you think has made your life miserable enough to be awarded this Boob of the Week prize, then just send us his name and address to Boob of the Week, WRC, Washington, 16, D.C. Today's Boob of the Week prize goes to Mr. Herman Finkel of Bethesda, Maryland, who made life miserable for everyone around him this past week. Item one.
Last week, while driving down Wisconsin Avenue from Bethesda, Herman Finkel made a left turn from a right lane, causing four cars to be smashed up. You guessed it, not a scratch to Mr. Finkel.
Item two.
2 days ago, in one of Washington's larger supermarkets, Herman Finkel, while standing next to the canned beans counter, took a can of beans from the bottom of the display pile, causing 178 cans of uncooked beans to be scattered about the floor, one can of which rolled under the feet of a grocery clerk carrying a crate of grade A large eggs.
Item three.
On the corner of Mass Avenue and R Street Northwest, our candidate for the Boob of the Week, Herman Finkel, was the second car in line waiting for the light to change from red to green. At the instant it changed, he immediately began blowing his automobile's horn, causing the lady driver in the front car to jump her car on the curb and stalling it, while Herman's car simultaneously ran out of gas, blocking rush hour traffic for over 1 hour.
That is our Boob of the Week prize to Mr. Herman Finkel, who is considered to be a most disreputable character this week in Washington. If you have a favorite you'd like to make Boob of the Week, send his or her name to Boob of the Week, WRC, Washington, D.C. That's Marge Dodson, and this can't be
very good. I've heard
that's
him.
That's a she. The she.
It's a she.
New voice in town.
The new she.
Yes.
See, I'm sorry.
That's right. Listening
that well, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
I know. Listen, I think it's time. I just talked to one of the directors, and I think I saw him taking a coffee break a moment ago.
The directors?
Yeah. Upstairs in television. Freya, let's run on upstairs. Ella Fitzgerald is still in Studio B. If we hurry up, we'll
catch her. Open the door.
What a terrific thing. Eddie.
I'm sorry.
Come on. I got an idea. Let's just sneak on that back down the hall and do our show. And as soon as our show is over, there's only 5 minutes till the show is over.
Right.
I'm sure that by the time we come back downstairs, Ella will be through her rehearsal and we can get her autograph.
Hand me the script here for the next set.
Yeah.
All ready, fellas?
What's that?
Forget it.
Bobby,
all ready?
Yeah, okay, Bobby.
Okay. All right. And now, memos from management. Each of us, in our daily activities at the office, come across memos from management. And the same is true in the radio and television industry. And it's with great pride that we share a few of these with you now as we read you some memos from management. Our first memo today, number 345-L, to all personnel from the cafeteria director.
Effective this date, no silverware, no plates, no napkins, no chairs, no tables are to be removed from the cafeteria without special permission. Said permission having been approved by the cafeteria head due to a loss of certain items recently. Coincidentally, with this memo, a new restaurant has just been opened across the street from the NBC building. Having checked with the city health department, we discover that this new cafeteria is owned by the program director. We wish him good luck, and we hope he meets with full success.
inside the cafeteria management.
Next, memo 55555 to all personnel from the personnel director.
We of NBC have always encouraged our employees to use company facilities and grounds both during working hours and afterwards. We have absolutely no objection to you bringing your friends into the building on tours. However, last week, two of our young pages were discovered operating a drive-in movie on the parking lot after regular working hours. Now, the company absolutely forbids the use of the movie projector outside the building unless it is operated by authorized personnel. The loss of three evening film commercials on TV was not unnoticed either. In the future, regardless of the situation, the movie projector in the television master control room is not to be touched. Regards, Jack Levan.
And finally, memo 463-LLL to all announcers from the chief announcer.
We find it necessary to again stress the point that the announcer's coffee fund is not looked upon by either this station or any duly organized agency as a welfare service. Therefore, we cannot justify the numerous appeals made on the air by our radio announcers as public service announcements. Yours with cream and no sugar, Jeb Stewart, chief announcer.
And there you have our memos from Manhattan.
Chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Hey, if we hurry up, we can get in the studio. Please,
okay, open the door. Open it.
Okay.
Hey. Nobody there.
Hello. Hello.
They've all gone. Well, we missed her. Close the door.
Here's
another job. Goof. By the Joy Boys.
Get them on. No stone for rocket.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Mert and Marge show up for rehearsal, forgetting that it's all over on NBC. I thought I was kind of cute myself. Thank you.
Nope. Dateline, Washington. Bylines on the Thursday Patty Cavan Show, NBC at 12:15, will belong to Victor Borga, Veterans Administrator Sumner Whittier, Lois Nettleton, who plays the title role in the new only production of Electra, and Editor James B. Craig of American Forest Magazine, here to report on the Georgetown University Writers' Conference.
This is Morgan Beatty bringing you the news.